Welcome to the Milk Bottle Shopify podcast, brought to you by Milk Bottle Labs, one of the world's top-rated Shopify experts. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Our founder, Keith Matthews, interviews merchants, developers, fellow agency owners, and Shopify folk to share as many Shopify tips and tricks as possible. From our base in Ireland, Milk Bottle Labs upgrade, migrate, manage, and advise some of the highest performing Shopify stores worldwide. This podcast is kindly supported by our favorite Shopify app and the only app we install in every store, Rewind.io, the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. Now over to your host, Keith Matthews.
Hi there, welcome back. My guest today is Justin Christensen from Austin, Texas. Justin is the co-founder of Conversion Fanatics and also a best-selling author. He's got 20 years digital experience and he's decided in the last number of years to focus on conversion rate optimization. We know a lot of Shopify store owners, and it's amazing the variation in attention that store owners pay to conversion rate optimization. So Justin is going to share some tips and tricks with us today and also give his view on how we should all treat conversion rate optimization.
Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. I've seen your work. I've heard you speak. And I said to myself, you know what? I think this guy would be good to have on our own podcast. So really appreciate you accepting the invitation. Before I pressed record there, Justin, we were talking about Austin in Texas. And I was there a few years back. It is slowly becoming quite a technology hub, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely blown up. I moved here 13 years ago or so, and I think the population was about 900,000 in the metro area. I think we're approaching 3 million right now. And we've got Tesla moving in. We've got Apple campuses. We've got Facebook here. Google's here. You know, I think Samsung's building just said they're going to build a $10 billion chip plant here.
Wow.
We got Dell computers here. So yeah, it's quite the hub for sure.
Yeah, I think Big Commerce are based in Austin. And one of the first e-commerce platforms that I saw many years back was Volusion. And they're based in Austin, aren't they?
Yep, Volusion. And then we've got WP Engines here. We've got ShipStations based out of here. So all the e-com.
It's funny how it just takes a couple of years for a city to get a reputation and attract talent. I read recently that it had one of the highest rates of inbound immigration within the States as well in terms of people moving to Austin.
We factored, I think, something 100 people a day.
Wow.
Was at the peak, something like that. I mean, there's people leaving too.
Famously, Joe Rogan has relocated to Austin, hasn't he? That's where he runs his podcast.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's here. He lives down on Lake Austin. You know, John Paul DeJoria from, you know, Paul Mitchell Salons and yeah. I think it's whatever, Tequila. Yeah, he's here. There's a ton.
Justin, I'd love to understand, you know, your background and how you came across the subject of conversion rate optimization. But to the users who don't know, conversion rate optimization is sometimes like asking somebody how big is a hole. Like it's a massive, massive area.
Yeah.
How would you summarize conversion rate optimization?
Well, in the truest sense of the term, it actually doesn't have much to do with conversion rates in and of themselves, where the name would imply. But really what it is trying to better understand visitors' behavior through testing, essentially. So how we approach it is more, you know, understanding what holds weight on a page or a journey, you know, looking at a visitor journey. And I really call it experience optimization. So if you create a better experience on a website, all of the metrics become more effective. You know, it's not just conversion rate. That's a fluid number. So in the truest sense, it's just understanding what likes, dislikes, wants, needs your visitors have, and then presenting your items to them in a way that appeals to them most. And the vehicle we use to do that and measure it is just split testing. So I think a lot of people understand when they hear the word conversion optimization, they just think we're just going to run a bunch of tests and hope something sticks. But it's really just the understanding of the concept behind it and why you're doing the testing. And then the testing is really just for us to prove or disprove the assumptions that we might have on why we think something's performing the way it is.
And Justin, when you talk about split testing or A-B testing, to most Shopify users, let's say that are on Shopify and it's a side hustle, I always think some people think that A-B testing is just for big brands. Mm-hmm. But is that the case or is that true?
Usually we say it starts making sense when you get north of 20 plus sales a day. So sales conversions. Depends on your average order value, obviously, you know, to be effective. But you can't measure what's not there, and you can't improve what's not there. So there's a couple different approaches. You can take a qualitative approach, meaning just ask surveys and questions and heat maps and click maps and just really figure out what they're clicking on and what questions you're not answering. And then you can take the quantitative side, which incorporates both, which is true A/B testing, where you're changing an image, you're, you know, testing six different headlines, you're rearranging a product page, and you're measuring what that looks like from an actual quantitative perspective, you know, and then supporting it with qualitative data. So it is, you know, we work with brands that are do $750,000 a year in revenue, all the way up to Fortune 500 brands. You know, it just really depends on, you know, the product, and it depends on the average order value, and it depends on a couple other things. But optimization, everybody always screams traffic. They just need more eyeballs. You know, the latest Facebook hack or the, you know, whatever YouTube trend is going on, and little people talk about the actual conversion side of it, and they just think that's a byproduct. Well, one feeds the other. And if you don't have traffic, you can't have traffic without conversions, and you can't have conversions without traffic. So that's the two sides of the coin. And I chose to focus solely on the opposite side of the coin that most people were not talking about at the time.
Is it true, Justin, to say that it's probably the piece that a lot of e-commerce, you know, Shopify store owners ignore, because it's not the enjoyable piece?
No, it's not. Pain. It's not sexy. It's not fun in and of itself, but I enjoy it. You know, our team enjoys it. It's very rewarding, but for the most, you know, you don't set out to start a store and set up your Shopify account and grow a business to split test stuff, you know, and develop different designs and layouts. You develop it to, you know, that isn't in most people's wheelhouse. And then how to understand the data and interpret the data and act on that data is different. So it's definitely not for the faint of heart, you know, for most people. So it's definitely something that gets pushed down the priority list for sure. And thankfully that's why I'm in business, I guess. So
Justin, roll back then and explain to us how you got into it. Are you a numbers cruncher? Is that your core interest? Like, what was your journey into setting up Conversion Fanatics?
Yeah, so I've been doing digital marketing almost 20 years. So I started in the Wayback Machine when there wasn't software to do any of this. It was just like, oh, I'm kind of fumbling my way across the internet. And I found affiliate marketing years ago in online lead gen. And I figured out, oh, what do you mean I can change the button and I'll get more people to fill out the form? And I just the psychology behind what makes people do what they do. And I just kept testing stuff. And I was fortunate enough doing optimization in that we grew a company to about $10 million in revenue on the direct-to-consumer side, which I sold, I think, 11 years ago back to my business partners. And from there, I was just asked all of the stuff that I had published there, split test results and case studies and examples. People asked me about implementation. So that's what I started doing is just after I sold that, just started doing a small consultancy where I was kind of building pages and helping people set up the infrastructure, and met up with my longtime friend, one of the first people I met when I first moved to Austin, actually, my now business partner, Manish. He had a small team built out. He was kind of doing the agency thing. We really didn't know what we were doing in terms of starting an agency because we were both direct-to-consumer guys and direct marketing guys. And we started it with basically just the idea to take our knowledge of what we had both done to build brands through split testing. You know, fast forward seven, I think we're turning seven this month. So we started it, you know, just kind of decided we were going to be the service for all things optimization.
So really, Justin, you ended up educating yourself over a 20-year period, really, didn't you, unknowingly?
Yeah. I mean, I was practicing it 10-plus years before I ever decided to do it for somebody else. And I think that's kind of why we succeed in the fact of what we do. And we really built Conversion Fanatics product first and service first. Like, I didn't care about sales and advertising and all of those things. I just said, how can we get our clients results and do it in an efficient way and be the best in the business at doing it? And that's really what it was. But it's just taken my almost 20 years and my business partners, you know, almost 15 years of experience doing digital marketing and really just applying it to a bunch of cool companies.
Hasn't digital marketing become so complex in the past 2 or 3 years? So many channels, so many reports, so many tools. And we'll talk about tools. I'm interested to see what tools you use. So you're now running Conversion Fanatics. As you say, you're 7 years in. So if I'm a brand and I'm on Shopify and I'm doing $200,000 or $300,000 a year, and I approach you because I know I'm probably missing out on 5 to 10% of my sales because I've never really ever had a professional, you know, analyze the site and follow the customer journey. So what's the process there if I knock on your door?
Basically, we just take a look under the hood, you know, get to know kind of where you're at. We'll have a strategy call per se, just to, I want to understand, you know, what your inputs and outputs are. And then we just take a look at analytics and see what kind of trends we can see from the data. And then we'll take that and we'll apply it over to your website. And just, you know, we figure out that it's females aged 35 to 44. It's, you know, primarily mobile. It's, you know, all of the things, you know, Facebook traffic versus Google traffic, you know, where they're going on the site. And then we just absolutely pick apart the site with, you know, a few dozen or so split test ideas initially, just to figure out where that in that journey there are bottlenecks. And it's really simple. It's about a 20-minute exercise, and we've gotten really efficient at that too.
Let's take a short break, and I'll share the one app we install on every Shopify build. The team at Rewind.io have developed the leading backup solution for Shopify. Did you know there is no way of recovering lost data from a Shopify store? Rewind.io automatically backs up your store data. In the event of a data loss, usually due to human error, Rewind enables you to rewind your store back to its previous state. It's so simple and is used by some of the world's leading Shopify agencies, such as Kurt Elster of EtherCycle and Kelly Vaughan at The Tap Room. If your store is gaining traction, you may have multiple users making changes. Often store owners allow team or app developers enter a store to add code. Sometimes mistakes happen and data gets deleted. You can reduce your business risk today and prevent a costly catastrophe by installing the Rewind.io app on your Shopify store. Get your first month of Rewind for free by simply responding to any of the welcome messages or emails you receive after you begin your 7-day trial and mention this podcast. Now, back to the interview.
Is the conversion journey, is it like SEO? Is it a long tail relationship, or like, do you work with customers? Do customers come back to you once every 6 months, or do you work with customers continuously?
It's usually continuously. I mean, we've got companies we've worked with for 5+ years, you know, just month in and month out, and we're still finding improvements. Because if you look at it from a true conversion rate perspective, you're going to drive yourself nuts, because you run a promotion and then conversion rates skyrocket, and then all of a sudden they drop down, or you're scaling traffic, and it's just this roller coaster. So we look for the true scalability and exponential growth, so you can see that steady climb. Because conversion optimization, you know, it can reduce your cost per acquisition. It can increase your order value, increase your revenue per visitor, reduce abandoned cart rates, and increase add to cart rates. And I mean, it's all of these micro commitments in there too that people overlook, and they just see that number in the Shopify dashboard. It's like, oh, my conversion rate is 8% lower than it was yesterday or whatever. And it gets so hung up on that metric that you got to look at it on a trending basis versus, you know, you can have, you know, I've got a client right now that does $150 million a year that their conversion rate was like 1.9% yesterday, but last week it was 1.6. You know, it's just like it, but we're steadily just keep next plateau, you know. So,
you know, Justin, what I find is, and I find it amazing sometimes, people obsess about the conversion rate, mm-hmm. you know, when in actual fact, how about maybe you should look at your average order value and your customer return rate, your repeat rate? Like they all act together.
So I'll give you an example of that. Like, they do. They get so hung up on that number. It's like, oh, if I could just go from 1.5 to 2%, it's going to fix all of my problems. I can increase your conversion rate using tricks, gimmicks, tactics, throw some fake scarcity on some stuff, you know, throw a countdown timer on some stuff. I can boost your conversion rate, but it's not going to last. It's not going to, the further I get down this rabbit hole of optimization, the further I realize the brand equity and integrity of that brand. I've helped several companies in the last year, even during the pandemic, where they were very much go, 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 sell, sell, sell. We just want to push product. We just want to push revenue. Now to back up and say, okay, what kind of experience are we creating for our clients? You know, there's a difference between setting up a cart hook integration and pounding them with 4 or 5 upsells post-checkout versus getting rid of that completely And then, you know, soft upselling on the front, you could still get a similar average order value. But now instead of that customer one and done, now you've got an advocate for your company. You know, given today's social world and influencer world, it's changed the dynamic of it, you know, from the go, 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 sell, sell, sell type scenario. And if you're doing true optimization, you know, just like anything else, if you create a better experience for your client, your customers, when they land on your store, that creates so many opportunities that you can't necessarily quantify. You know, you can't put it on a spreadsheet on how happy that customer is. But we've seen 20% customer support complaint reductions just by fixing something on a product page, you know, or answering that question. And it's things that you can't measure if you're just looking at conversion rate.
So Justin, is that a difficulty for you then? Obviously, it's very clear that you know exactly what you're talking about, but have you ever encountered a situation where you did improve their customer support and improve their sales, but the conversion rate stayed the same and the customer remained, you know, obsessed with that one statistic?
Oh yeah, all the time. I mean, it happens almost every week because they hear the word conversion rate optimization and CRO, and they think that their conversion rate needs to go from 1% to 4% to 6 to 8 to 10. And when they don't see that exponential increase, you know, you're not going to, the conversion rate just doesn't infinitely go up, particularly as you scale. But yeah, they get hung up on that all the time. You can show revenue numbers all the day, you know, quarterly, you know, forecasted revenue based on impact and look at trends in the data and all of that stuff. But if conversion rates stayed flat, you know, that's a different thing. You know, I've helped companies scale 300% in revenue. Their conversion rate stayed relatively the same during that. But what you don't understand is, or what a lot of people don't understand is, if you dump 100% more traffic on it, a metric has to give. And it's almost always conversion rate.
Conversion rate, yeah. Just on that, you've just raised an interesting point. I find it really interesting the amount of people that just assume that their conversion rate is going to rise just because their traffic has risen, you know, which is bananas. I mean, number one, it could be really bad traffic. And it, depending on the average order value in the store, a customer could visit 2 or 3 times before they make a purchase.
And 7 or 8 times before they make a purchase in some cases.
Exactly. So
what you don't see is, particularly in the algorithm world of that we live in, you know, Facebook ads aren't that tough, you know, get a good creative and, you know, some basic targeting and you're off to the races. But, you know, there is a science to it, obviously, but the algorithm, if you all of a sudden you're spending $1,000 a day and you're spending $2,500, it's going to take a while for that algorithm to finally catch up with itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if your traffic does this, conversion rates do this almost always. It's equal opposite reaction. You know, it's science. And anytime somebody says, well, my conversion rate dipped, I go and I immediately look at traffic numbers. I'll jump to that report in analytics. I'll jump to it in Shopify, be like, well, your traffic's up 70% today. No wonder your conversion rate went down. And it's mitigating that downside as you scale. So that 300% example, we took their conversion rate from like 1 to 2.5, but they dumped a bunch more traffic on it and their conversion rate dropped to like 1.8. You know, so they were like, oh my God, it's, you know, our conversion rate went down. It's like, well, no, you got 70% more eyeballs on it and your conversion rate only dipped a little bit instead of going all the way back down to 1. So the optimization is working. You know, there's a science to it. And this is part of the reason why I do podcasts like this, you know, it's to educate people on, it's the reason why I wrote my book. It's the reason why I did all of those things. It's just to educate people on the importance of it, but the bigger picture of it, not just, I changed the button color and it raised or lowered my conversion rate.
Let's just focus on that as well. I mean, can you give us some obvious examples of where you've made changes on sites to improve conversion? Because I think one of the things Shopify has done is its theme-based approach has kind of already, you know, out of the box, the conversion rate optimization can always be improved, but it's not that bad, you know, in most cases. Can you give us some examples of where you made glaringly obvious changes that made an impact immediately?
Well, usually they're incremental. So when that's another misconception too, is people think they need big changes to make a big impact. And it's actually the opposite. You need incremental changes to make a bigger impact. So some common tests that we run are moving the product listings on a homepage up below the hero section, like showcasing best-selling products, stopping carousel sliders on the hero image on a homepage, and going with a static image with a good strong headline. and a good, strong call to action. Adding social proof to various elements, moving reviews on pages, adding sizing guides to product pages, to redesigning the selection box, to highlighting Afterpay and Klarna, redesigning the carousel, you know, so it actually is mobile friendly versus having big thumbnails that are taking up a whole bunch of space. You know, sticky add to cart buttons where it scrolls with and, you know, past the viewport. Things like that from a functionality perspective and an experience perspective are very common tests that we run. And then you can get all sorts of crazy, like completely redesigning functions, adding video to carousels, to completely disrupting and changing things down to gift with purchase options and, you know, adding pre-checkout upsells and all of the things that kind of boost the average order value. But there's never a shortage of ideas. It's just that you don't always need to redesign a page to get the big impact. Like I'm doing one right now. I just looked before we hopped on. It's showing a 48% increase in conversions, all because we're highlighting the number of units that were sold in the last 24 hours. That's literally it. It's just social proof. One big one that we're running a lot of is just setting the expectation of shipping dates. So just showcasing, it's like, hey, you order today, you're going to get it by this window. Testing that every which way and upside down is possible combinations that we can get. So, and that worked really well going into, you know, when we hit like March of last year. So 1 year ago when the pandemic hit and everybody was shut down, when e-commerce kind of did the hockey stick, that's what helped us kind of lean into it and help the companies thrive and grow, because shipping delays, and there's still some shipping delays now, but it's just setting that expectation and people just want to know. And if, as long as you make them feel warm and comfortable in making that buying decision, it's easy. Just pull the risk reversal, show them your warranty, show them your money back guarantee, make it easy for them to do business with you, and you win. And you just can constantly evolve on that.
You've raised some very valid points, and I blame Amazon for a lot of that, because Amazon has people convinced that they should have it as quickly as possible, when the truth is that if you order something, you don't necessarily need it as quickly as possible. And, you know, your point there about social proof is very important. Something very interesting in Europe has happened since Brexit, whereby orders and deliveries that are coming out of the UK, it's slow because of capacity and also because of Brexit. And if you order from the UK, you may incur a tax or a charge when the UPS guy or DHL guy delivers to your door. So what we're doing is adding to sites on the product page is very simply, this product, if it's an Irish firm, is shipped from Ireland, you know, so it's not going to incur any additional taxes. And these things, I suppose, they sound so simple, but as you say, sometimes it's the most simple and the smallest changes that actually have a massive, massive effect. I'm interested in the tools you use. Can you just give us some tips on the tools you use to make that analysis?
I'm anti-tools.
Please explain.
Yeah. So, I mean, remember, I started this journey before there was automation, I had to do things manually. So, and the more and more I get in, you know, we deal with a lot of Shopify stores, and it's very easy to go into the App Store and click install. Which that causes loads of other problems from a development standpoint, where you think you might be helping, but you're actually hurting. So I keep it very simple. I use basic Google Analytics. I use basic Shopify Analytics, which is terrible, by the way. I'm not a huge fan of it. It can give you the basic information. That's it.
But, no, it's very basic. Yeah, it's very basic.
Stop looking at your day-over-day numbers, please. but I use Google Analytics. I use a basic heat map tool like Hotjar, Lucky Orange, True Conversion, things like that. Hotjar is our favorite. And then I use a split testing tool. I use convert.com is our primary go-to. Very simple. And that's it. I mean, other than that, that is it. You know, we do have some other tools that we use to execute in some cases, but at the core of it all, that's it. And we can do pretty much everything within that environment. We've coded, you know, you don't need the plugin for the free shipping countdown, you know, scenario. You don't need, you know, to hit your threshold. You don't need any of that. That's just actually adding fuel to the Shopify gods that cause more problems than they actually help. So yeah, I'm simple. And I actually tell people that even when they come with us, it's like, I would like to say that we're more complex than we are, but we just run so many experiments that we get to see so much data. we get to see so many different scenarios and so many different websites that, you know, everything kind of feeds itself. There's only so many ideas out there in the marketplace. There's only so many strategies.
Because sometimes it's the oldest trick in the book that is the one that works. Whereas I find sometimes people nowadays are always looking for the next new thing or the next genius idea, which they're not necessarily out there. I mean,
no.
Marketing
hasn't changed in 20 years. The medium, hell, it hasn't changed in 50. It's just the mediums that in which you do it. You know, we didn't have Facebook many years ago. I remember when Google AdWords started. You know, and when SEO, you can rank for any keyword in 2 days. Yeah. You know, that was the fun of it. It was the Wild West back then.
Yeah.
So all of these tools didn't exist and all of this automation didn't exist, but yet we were still able to market. Yeah. And, you know, whether you're doing postcards, direct mail, you know, fax orders, or, you know, you're running a basic lead gen opt-in page, or you're running the most complex Shopify store on the planet. It's all simple workings, and you'd be surprised at some of the largest companies in the world with the simplest setups, you know, talking $150, $200 million a year businesses that have basic Shopify Plus installs. And just when you overcomplicate it, that's when things get messy, things get very difficult. And at the end of the day, people ask me, like, well, have you optimized for this? The answer is yes. If you sell to people, the answer is yes, because we all have the same product, and that product's people. It's just inputs and outputs. It's just numbers.
You're explaining it very well. Listen, I really enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, you mentioned you wrote a book. Can you give us some details on that? And we'll put the link into the show notes.
Yeah, so I wanted to educate people. I wrote a book basically because everybody was talking about traffic, and I wanted to write a book on optimization, but I wanted to make it stand the test of time with no fluff. You know, you could flip to any page and get some insight. And took me over a year to write it. And it was the most painful experience I've ever had in my business career.
Explain, Justin, why?
I'm not an author. I can write blog posts, but I literally, it took me a year. And it's only 30,000 words. So
yeah.
I literally just vomited all of my experience onto a Google Doc, essentially, and let the editor sort it out. But I wanted to write it for somebody that was beginning in marketing all the way to somebody that was experienced. And no fluff that would just stand the test of time, just like my basic principles have for, you know, the last 20 years. And people love it. It's fortunate. You know, it's been good. You know, the feedback on it's been tremendous. I mean, it's 5 years old now. And people are still telling me how much they love the book.
It's due an update then and a reprint, is it?
Well, somebody keeps asking me, it's like, when am I going to come out with the new, like, updated edition? And it's like, well, I flipped through it the other day and I'm like, well, I mean, this
hasn't changed.
True. I mean, it's literally all of that stuff holds true. I mean, I could probably update it with some new examples, but other than that, I mean, it's the principles are still there. And I mean, I still have people buying it and passing it around to their entire marketing teams. And
that must be a nice feeling. Look, I'm delighted to have spoken to you. You're very passionate about what you do. It's very clear. Thank you so much for sharing your insights, and we'll place the link to the book in the show notes. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. All of our episodes are available on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. A special note of appreciation goes to our sponsor, Rewind.io, the leading backup solution for Shopify store owners. Get your first month of Rewind for free by simply responding to any welcome email once you sign up for your free trial on Rewind.io. If you're a Shopify user with an exciting story to tell, reach out to the team on hello@milkbottlelabs.com.